Welcome to the One Climbs Podcast, a show about exploring life through the lens of theology, scripture, symbolism, and ideas that uplift the human mind. Every now and then, there's a movie scene that, whether intentionally or unintentionally, does a really good job of illustrating something that works well with a principle or doctrine of the gospel. One of my favorite movies is the 1997 movie Contact, and that's starring Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey, and it's just all around a fantastic movie. It holds up really well. I just watched it a couple months ago with my teenage daughters because they had never seen it. And so I'm like, oh, you got to see this one. It's great. We talked about it afterwards, and it's really fantastic because it shows this interesting relationship between the process of discovery involved with science and also how faith crosses paths with this sometimes. I'm free to do spoilers at this time because it's been many years, and if you haven't seen it yet, you can stop this podcast and go watch it or something, but there are going to be some spoilers. So the main character meets this man who's Matthew McConaughey, and he comes from a background of faith, and she's very dismissive of his perspective and doesn't like the fact that she has to take what he's saying based on faith. Well, anyway, Jodie Foster's character, she receives all these instructions to build this machine from some type of extraterrestrial intelligence. And they end up building the machine. She travels through space and she comes back on Earth and nobody believes her. And they say, hey, do you expect us to simply take everything you're saying based on faith? And she's so convinced by what she saw and what she experienced, and she wants everyone else to believe what she's saying, but she doesn't have any evidence to back it up other than, at the very end, they throw on this little thing about there's something like 18 hours of recording on the little device, even though there wasn't any discernible time delay in watching her pass through this machine. Anyway, you got to go watch the whole thing to get it. But there's this part where they're building the machine, and there's this sphere that the individual has to get inside of, and then it drops them into these counter-rotating rings that form some type of wormhole or something in the center of it. I mean, it looks crazy. It looks like a place you do not want to go inside. It looks extremely dangerous. These rings are swinging around. It could completely destroy, kill anybody inside. And so what they do is they decide to put a chair inside the sphere. Now, the instructions they got from the extraterrestrials did not indicate any kind of chair. And Jodie Foster's character, she's emphasizing this. She goes, there's no call for a chair in the plans, but they're insisting, like, we're not putting anybody inside that thing unless there's some type of safety device, right? And so anyway, they put the chair in, she gets in the chair, and she goes through the process, and she gets rocketed out into space through this wormhole, and the vibration inside this thing is really intense. And it's such a fantastic scene because everything is just vibrating around her. She's in the chair just being shaken. It feels like the whole thing's about ready to come apart. And then she notices this little compass necklace that she has floating inside the sphere, kind of floating around. It's not being violently shaken. So she starts thinking about this, and she unhooks her harness and leaves the chair. And then all of a sudden she's in calm, and the chair is just still violently shaking all by itself until it actually breaks off and detaches from the sphere. And then all of a sudden everything's perfectly still and quiet. And it was obvious that the people that designed the machine never intended for there to be a chair in there. Didn't need to have one. But from the human perspective, they looked at this and they were thinking, well, if a person is in this and we drop it, they could get really hurt, right? And so they feel like they need to intervene on the design of this superior intelligence. They're like, the superior intelligence didn't seem to think about the safety of the person inside. So we're going to improve upon it, and we're going to fix it, and we're going to add to it. And it's not until Jodie Foster's character is actually in this thing and traveling through space and then experiencing that there's some other factor that the human scientists could not perceive or anticipate. And it's not until you're experiencing it that you realize the wisdom and what was going on. There wasn't any need for a chair because there's some type of, I don't know if it's anti-gravity or whatever, there's zero need for a chair. And so what I like about this whole scene and these sequence of events is it always reminds me of the scriptures because, you know, the scriptures have instructions in them, and sometimes the instructions don't seem to make much sense. You know, forgive your enemies, pray for people who are mean to you and persecute you. There's a lot of things that Jesus taught that on the surface, some of them make sense and some are very hard to make sense of. And there's situations we find ourselves in today where we're expected to, you know, continue along this path and following these instructions. But we're like, well, what about all this other stuff? What about this, that, and the other thing? I don't think God took these things into account. Like, why isn't God doing something about this? Why isn't God doing something about that? And we can get very much caught up in questioning a supreme intelligence. And this alien civilization, it's not like they created the universe or anything. They just created this machine, right? This machine that was beyond human comprehension. But still, it's not on par with creating planets and galaxies. You have these laws of nature and all these different things. We still struggle with trusting an intelligence that is more superior than anything we could possibly imagine. And his instructions are so simple sometimes, but they can seem paradoxical. And so that's kind of one of the things that this movie visualizes, at least to me, is the importance of trust and trusting the instructions that we're getting from a higher intelligence and trusting that this higher intelligence does these things out of love, not out of spite or to trick us or deceive us or just, you know, play around or mess with our minds. He's honestly trying to help us. And if we follow those instructions as close as possible to the way that they've been given to us, the truth of it becomes apparent as we proceed through. It's kind of like Jesus said, if any man will do my will, he will know of the doctrine. And that's what this experience in this movie kind of relates as well. It just shows it in a different way. And so there definitely is this place where our pursuit of faith and our pursuit of knowledge through science, that there's a common thread here. It's both about the process of discovery and experience. And while, you know, science helps us to understand things from an objective level, we can demonstrate things objective. These two chemicals come together and then this happens. And it's a fantastic tool for doing a variety of things. But all the science in the world cannot convey to us meaning. And that's not what it's for. You don't get meaning from science. You get objective facts and realities from science. But God is not just a computer that spits out information and processes things. God is an individual who understands meaning. He teaches meaning. His whole creation is done for a purpose. There's a meaning behind it. So it's essential if we as intelligent individuals with minds and passions and ability to understand, to function in this reality that we call life, we have to have meaning. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of everything that exists that we see, feel, and touch. All of it has meaning to it. There's a reason for it. And if we try to dismiss God and remove meaning from everything to get to this kind of nihilism, then without purpose, without direction, life then becomes meaningless. We reduce ourselves simply to some type of chemical reaction that just exists on a rock, on a star, in some remnants of a giant explosion. At least that's one of the current theories, right? And so understanding meaning and obtaining meaning from God and then putting that meaning into our lives is what helps us to understand our place. And little by little, we begin to understand this creator, this heavenly father who's placed us here and who desires our, not only our welfare, but to exalt us, to bring us up to where he is, to see things as he sees them, and to share with us in his glory and the things that bring joy to the types of beings that we are. And he's the ultimate representation of that. And Jesus Christ is the earthly representation of that. He came to show us the way that it is possible that here is a person in the flesh doing these things, treating people with kindness, forgiving their enemies, showing us that it is possible to do these things and showing us a way and a path. And not only that, but offering himself as a sacrifice for our weaknesses as an entire civilization, all of mankind, everyone who ever lived upon the earth. And it's really an amazing thing. And some of it's paradoxical. Some of it is difficult to understand. But again, it's kind of like we've been given this gift of information all there in the scriptures. And some of it can be tricky to follow, but it's not just about reading and researching. Those things are important, but it's also about doing and putting things into practice. Ultimately, it's when we go and we do the will of God that we know of the doctrine itself. That's the way it's designed to be. It's a really brilliant thing when you think about it. And each individual can independently confirm for themselves outside of the necessity for any other person. You can internally understand and realize the truth of something and live your life in a way tied to God and going out into the world and having that meaning. And so I've always been just absolutely fascinated with how this is all structured and the kind of the consistency and the challenges that are also laced through the entire thing that make it very difficult sometimes, but also, again, challenging and exciting to be involved in this and what a gift life is and how important it is. And so anyway, if you haven't seen Contact, or maybe it's been a few years since you've seen it, I encourage you to give it a watch again and pay attention to that scene. I think, I could probably talk about many, many other scenes in this movie because it's one of my favorites. Definitely my top five, I would think. But anyway, hopefully you found something of value in that. And we'll talk to you again in the next episode of the One Climbs podcast.